Paperback Bromance is brought to you by Dr. Lovejoy's Maine Made Elixirs, the low-dose way to unwind your day.
Welcome to Paperback Bromance. This is a podcast where we read modern and classic romance novels and give them in-depth reviews. But here's the thing. They can only be secondhand novels. We have to drink boxed wine. And Matt has read the book. I'm David Joseph, the guy who has to read all this smut. And I'm here
with Matt.
And I'm Phoebe, who reads the steamy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Paperback Bromance. As always, I am Matt. I am here with David and Phoebe, and also a very special guest, friend of the show and author of The Ghost Trap, Kay Stevens. How's it going, everybody?
Hi.
Kay Stevens, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. I am so happy to be here. Thanks for having me here.
This is really, really cool.
This is exciting. Yeah, I'm hoping this is the first of many authors we get to have visit, so welcome. You get to pop our cherry.
Already getting into the smut.
Already getting too dirty.
Kay Stevens is a freelance journalist, a author, and a screenwriter who has written The Ghost Trap, which we reviewed in our previous episode. And, oh man, I am so excited to have you here.
Thank you. I'm really thrilled to be here.
Right on. So, should we get right into
it? Yeah, let's get into it.
Yeah. All right. Where did you hear Trap Wars, and is that what inspired you to write this book?
Yeah, so, you know, every great story doesn't start over a salad. It always starts at a bar. And, you know.
Okay.
That's true.
And when I moved to Maine in 93, I made every friend I'd ever met at the Sea Dog in Camden, Maine. The original Sea Dog.
Oh, yeah, the original one. Over on the mill.
Yeah.
Yep. And at that point, everybody who was young was just gravitating there, and it was a nice mix of, you know, office people, lobstermen, tradespeople, people work deckhands on schooners. Anybody who was young was there.
Yeah.
And so you would sit elbow to elbow with every kind of diverse kind of profession and personality and everything like that. So I made friends with lobstermen. As it goes, you have one or three beers and you get some stories out of them.
Oh, right. Yeah. Does it really only take three?
Usually that's about a six twisted tea. Or maybe
like a half a beer and they're ready to tell you their life story.
No, they normally are not, especially okay. from somebody from away. And I was. So, so I had to be very, very respectful.
Away from where?
Well,
because I'm also from away.
Actually, Matt is too. Yeah, I'm the only Maynard.
Phoebe's the only actual Maynard here.
I'm the only actual Maynard, kind of.
Yeah. I had moved up. I had gotten my degree from Emerson College in Boston, and I didn't want to be in a city anymore. I just wanted to be by the lakes and the ocean. So I moved up by myself to Maine in 93. And so, you know, being from away, you have to be really super careful, particularly around this subject, because it is a very close-knit subculture.
Mm.
And, you know, I had friends in the industry who would tell me about Trap Wars, but that was very little known at that point. Nobody was really talking about it in the early 90s. And so that ended up being kind of the focal point, the plot points of The Ghost Trap. And then I built the narrative around that.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So it was just literally just hanging out with guys at the bar was the inspiration for this story.
That's how I get all my stories.
Is that also where you got the quote, why don't you grab a ladder and just jump on my sphincter while you're at it? Because I'm glad that went from the book to the movie.
That quote was definitely heard in a bar, and that quote was definitely inserted into the screenplay for the movie. And you heard it.
Laughed out loud every time I read it, and I watched the movie twice. I already told Kay this, but I watched the movie twice.
There's people don't know this very much, but somebody, they've always asked me, did you star in your movie? I'm like, no, I'm not gonna do that.
Did you do a cameo? No, I'm realizing, did you do a cameo?
No, but I did a voice cameo. So the part where Jamie's on the VHF. And
I love that, by the way.
Oh yeah.
And well, I don't know how, well, I'll just say it.
Go ahead.
Well, it was written into the script anyway, and the female voice is like, what's going on with you? And he's like, hey, everybody shut the fuck up. And the female voice says, well, there's no need to get all uncunted over
That
was me.
I love it.
That's so fantastic.
That's my SAG fame.
And as always, dear listeners, we're even in a bonus episode, there's lots of spoilers. So
there are,
if you want to pause
the book and the movie.
Watch the movie, which is incredible.
Or free read on the Tubi book, right now.
Free on Tubi right now. Or read the book, which is also incredible.
Yes.
Hit pause. We'll be here when you get back. Kay, where did you get the idea for Anya to have a handicap? Because is it the focal point of the book, or is it just really?
It's the heart of it. I think it's the emotional heart of it. It came
her on the VHF.
That was so funny.
Yeah.
all of the VHF conversations. I don't mean to interrupt, but of course
we got
to
digress.
Oh,
a little
you're
bit.
Getting. I saw you hanging out with all the harbor hogs down at Myrtle the other night.
Yep.
That must have been something you've heard in one of the bars.
Not only heard, but lived it. But
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so that element of Anya being head injured came from two real places. And one was that a family member of mine had sustained a horrific brain injury when I was 17 through a car accident. And it changed his entire life. And it took more than 5 years to recover and become who he was. So I witnessed as a teenager him going through every level of forgetting how to talk and walk and getting back to normal. And it just, you know, that was devastating for him, the family, everybody, and yet the perseverance that he exhibited going through that. And I just decided that was an element that had not been brought into a relationship before. And, you know,
I have never read something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and here's another element to lobster fishing is it's a very dangerous profession.
It is, yeah. It's dangerous,
really,
and it's
dangerous.
Hard work.
It's hard work. It's dangerous. People look at a lobster on a plate, oh, I got a lobster, but they have no idea what people do to go through it. And, you know, some of my friends, lobster my friends, have witnessed people getting pulled overboard.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that my experience and the dangers of the lobstering industry kind of converged into what was going to be the narrative arc to this story.
I know people that have personally fallen off boats in a bad storm.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, maybe they shouldn't have been out at all.
We see too many of those stickers, man, on the back of trucks.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We see too. And the stickers I'm referring to, dear listeners, is lobstermen that have been lost at sea.
Yeah.
And it's their birthday and when they were lost.
Memorials.
There's a great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing,
there's too many of them in this area.
It is. Yeah.
There's a great memorial not statue. It's a big brick at Marshall Lighthouse.
Marshall Point.
Marshall Point.
Yeah. Yeah. I went out there one time. I was just showing my friend from California, you know, a lighthouse. And I'm like, hey, Forrest Gump, you like that, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's the first lighthouse that Forrest Gump ran to.
Yeah. Right. Listeners. Yeah. So I went over. Yeah, because this is a Forrest Gump podcast.
Oh, yeah. Kay's been there.
I went over and I touched the stone and I had a visceral response from people that I've lost personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was really powerful.
Right.
So can we compare a little bit the book to the movie?
Yeah.
Why in the world did you switch it to Allagash instead of PBR?
Or in
our world, smut juice to other smut juice.
Don't think I didn't bring that up.
I'm bringing it up.
No, that wasn't your decision. Oh, it is not. Obviously, PBR is going to be
that
choice.
Bugged the shit out of me.
All right, so this is why, and this is movie situations. Okay, we couldn't get a license to.
For PBR?
No.
Wow.
No, but Allagash gave us one. And I told them, I said, you know, no self-respecting lobsterman's going to be sitting here drinking a...
Wow.
I'm
glad that you left it in the can.
Yeah.
But fuck, man, it could have been twisted tea.
Oh, yeah. And I suggested that too.
Same thing, though.
Yeah, at least they weren't like pouring it in a glass and throwing an orange slice on there. Because
at least it wasn't
I would have stopped the movie.
That's a Phoebe drink for sure. She loves an Allagash.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, I know.
I would not see a lobsterman drinking an Allagash with a
that is valid.
Slice of orange.
Self-respecting lobsterman's going to be popping a can of that Allagash.
No.
So sorry. Yeah,
they're driving around with a tall boy, a twisted tea, and a couple
fireballs. I'm
calling
out Hollywood on that.
No, Yeah.
All right. So to set the record straight, dear listeners, it was Hollywood.
Yeah, that, Hollywood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go still watch the movie.
Yeah.
Still yes. watch the all movie. Right. It is worth every freaking second.
Don't send Kay hate mail about
no,
Ron.
No.
Don't
oh,
do
and
that.
Listen, listen. I've already gotten the hate mail on the accents, okay?
What?
And,
oh, from, okay. So yeah, the lead character sounds like he's from Boston. That's all right.
Right.
That's okay.
It's all right.
That's okay.
Maine is well, a hard accent.
Listen, we told them, we put the actor, Zack Steiner, and
who was awesome.
Stephen Ogg, who also you might well know him better from it's the video game.
He was in Grand Theft Auto.
Grand Theft Auto. Yeah.
Really?
He was yeah. also on the movie Snowpiercer.
And he was also
oh,
in,
I
the
love
Walking
that flick.
And yeah. in The Walking yeah. Dead. And in The Walking Dead, yes.
So we told them ahead of time, said, do not try to emulate the main accent. Please just go with what you. And they toned it down quite a bit, but they did a lot of work ahead of time on this, a lot
yeah.
of work. So, and actually my lobsterman friends took them out on what we call lobster camp for an entire week. They went out on my friend's boat, learned how to bait the traps, haul traps, basically, you know, use herring and all kinds of bait
roll
and
joint.
All stuff. Yeah. that's where they got introduced and hooked on Twisted Tea. I could tell you that.
Right. There you go. See, Hollywood, if you're listening, it should have been Twisted Tea.
Yeah,
should have been Twisted
Tea.
Yeah.
I love in the book, Jamie's lunch.
Yeah.
He has cold pizza for breakfast mm-hmm. and then fruit pies.
Mm-hmm.
And
The vegan pizza.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I am somebody who observes, I just observe a lot as a writer. And how many times have I been standing behind a guy like a stop and go mm-hmm. and watching
oh,
what he's buying for lunch?
Word.
You know? So,
oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah.
That ends up being, you know,
yeah.
realistic.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen that 1,000 times. I think I mentioned it when we reviewed the book. Like, you know, you're just at Maritime Farms and someone's, oh, yeah, where are you working down today? About down by the school, you know, and I'll take four Fireball next, please.
Yeah, there you go. You're talking about Fireballs. Right. Yeah.
What
yeah.
would you think would be a normal lunch? First of all, I think there's going to be a Yoo-Hoo in there.
Yeah,
yes.
definitely a Yoo-Hoo.
Yeah.
Gas station pizza.
And a scratch ticket.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. a scratch box. Ticket. Definitely. Yep.
It used Pack to be. It used to be a PBR, and then it turned into like a small nip at Allen's, and
yeah.
now it's Fireball.
Yeah. Oh, Fireball.
Maybe a can of Grizzly. You
I
know.
Think we just. I think we just triggered.
You are bringing me back to the worst hangover I had
ever
in my life.
For
it's
yeah,
too much sugar. That's what it is.
I have not touched Fireball for like 5 years
it's
at
evil.
This point.
Oh,
dear.
It's just pure evil.
Yeah. Yep.
I got fed Fireball at my bachelor party. Thanks a lot.
That was not me.
No.
I fed you good quality cannabis and that was it.
And White Claw surges.
And White Claw surges.
Okay. That's it.
We digress.
We digress.
Okay, I want to ask you about the difference in the book between how Anya comes about her brain injury, because in the movie, it's a rough wave. And is that a real thing? Because I honestly don't know.
Okay. A rogue wave? That's
a rogue wave. And then, but in the book, yep. I think we touched on it, she gets hooked on the
yep.
line.
Yep. Valid question. And again, this is the constraints you have when you are going from writing a novel where you're able to portray anything happening to real life production, where there's a certain level of constraints you have to have. So in the book, when Anya sustains her brain injury, she's been yanked overboard by one of the traps getting caught on her sweater, which is
right. She was
typical.
Wearing the wrong clothes,
right?
If
yeah,
I remember correctly,
yeah.
never fucking wear cotton.
That's right.
Right.
And that's a true story. And
why don't
that.
You want to wear cotton? Just a little digression here.
Well, first of all, it's not a material that sustains water very well.
It retains water as opposed to
it just keeps
it.
You cold, but it's also
right. It just stays wet.
It's something like the sweater I'm wearing right now could be caught on a trap easily or a buoy or whatever and thrown overboard. In the movie, mm-hmm. we did not want to subject Greer Grammer, who's Kelsey Grammer's daughter, by the way, from Cheers.
Yeah,
I did not know that.
Get out of here.
Yeah. She had signed on to the movie 2 weeks before we were set to start.
Oh, wow.
What?
Wow.
She was amazing.
Never been thrown in the ocean the way we did with her. And she took on such a heavy-hitting role.
Those are Maine waters, dear listeners.
Yeah.
It is.
I don't care
what time of year it is.
Cold.
It can be
I was going to ask what
heat,
time of year, though.
It could be the heat of August. It does not matter.
And it's still cold.
It is cold.
Yeah, you're talking 60-degree water at best.
Hypothermia within minutes.
Mm-hmm. We sat, production, Lobsterman and me sat in a restaurant with little tiny pretend, you know, little lobster boats that were, you know, tiny sized and tried to map out how this would possibly work. And we realized there's no way we're going to throw a girl and get her under the water
in
on a
full
trash,
gear.
In full gear.
Yeah.
And then scoop her up quickly enough that she's not actually getting
hurt. So what we came up with and what can happen is sometimes a rogue wave can actually knock the boat to a certain degree where, you know, obviously somebody's going to lose their balance and it's not high rails on it. So that's how we had to do it for her so that we didn't actually jeopardize her entire safety. And we had a diver with a camera and she was absolutely terrified being in that water.
It shows because I don't know, dear listeners, if you know what lobster gear looks like, but they have essentially a rubber overalls
that can gather water really fast.
And fill up and sink your ass. So that definitely came across.
They're great when you're on the boat, but if you're
you're in the water, not so good.
Yeah. So yeah, that, and I've actually, I got a TikTok channel. I have a little behind the scenes. I filmed a lot of the behind the scenes in the film with my camera, and it shows when she went in, and you can tell she's just doing her best to act, but not be terrified at the same time. So
she crushed it. I thought she did amazing.
That whole scene was, I mean, it was shot very well. Her acting was incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I want to go a little bit further in the story and talk about Happy.
Happy. Okay.
Okay. So I'm from away, but I get that a girl coming in on she's a summer girl.
Yeah, she's a summer girl.
Right. So dear listeners, a summer girl, if you're living in Maine, we get a lot of summer people up here.
And we call it fresh flesh.
When I was 12, I did not call it that. No. I just was like, what are bongo shorts?
Yes. David's wife, who was on one of our previous episodes, was a summer girl for a time.
Yep, she was.
I was a summer boy. That's right.
I met. This is wild, Phoebe. We married summer people.
We did. Yeah. Weird.
So I've known.
Well, that's the allure, isn't known, it?
Yeah.
The allure. Right? Yeah. It's somebody who's.
Well, she's also tall and blonde.
She's
so
gorgeous. Nice.
So Happy.
Yeah.
Why the change? Because I loved in the book that they go. Which buddy is it that he goes to Camden with? The artist guy.
Carrie. Yeah.
All right. So they go to Camden, which they hate. And as somebody who grew up in St. George, we hated Camden. Well, we don't know why we hated Camden, because right now my son,
rich and snobby,
goes to Camden. Well, actually, it's mainly retired CIA. So I think that's part of the reason.
That's fun.
Well, I mean, it's like hate watching a TV show. It's like coming up from the point.
It's
and
just
hate watching the tourists. Walking
it's just inherent.
Camden.
Like it's going to be there regardless.
Well, nothing like driving through downtown Camden and having 18 people just walk out when there's a crosswalk somewhere else. It's like, dude, it takes you half an hour just to drive a quarter mile.
And they're supposed to smile and wave and they never do.
No. Yeah. Rude.
So
rude.
Rude.
So Happy, let's introduce her for a second. So she is a schooner first mate, and it was loosely based on the Appledore. And in fact, we were working to try to get a main schooner in the film when we actually had to change venues and film some post-production stuff in California. So we never got the main schooner, but we got a lot of the main scenes on that. But so Happy is just a girl, a summer girl, who is the complete opposite to what Jamie's life is, which is obligation and structure and pain and literally no freedom. And she is the freedom girl.
Yeah.
Just so happy-go-lucky.
She's
just
happy-go-lucky.
Go where the wind takes her.
Yeah. And in the book, it's sort of
they meet at a house party.
Yep,
is it Don McLean's mansion? You can say it's Don McLean's mansion.
there was a little castle kind of house, not the Norumbega, up in Camden that I went to in a '90s party, and the place was decked out in a way you can't even imagine. Well, you can, because if you read the book, that's exactly the way.
Yeah,
it was
it was wild.
Yeah, and everybody again was just so commingled in the '90s. There was no differentiation between, you know, the guy who works as an electrician and the girl who's doing PR for, you know, a politician. It was just everybody got together, and that was the beauty and the brilliance of the early '90s in Camden, where there's so many young people around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't feel like it translated as much in the movie where they met like at a bar.
Yeah, a lot of my scenes got cut out.
Okay.
That's so
there it is.
Yeah. Hollywood.
Again,
I'm blaming Hollywood because
but I do want a little pitch for my production company, Conlarian Entertainment, because this was a lightning in a bottle story. And
yes,
Peter Couture is from Winslow, Maine.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
And he was the one to come from LA and North Carolina. They had a production company they just started, and he came up to Maine and he picked out my book at a Lincolnville bookstore 2 weeks before they closed. So, what kind of kismet's that, right?
No kidding. Yeah.
And he read the book and he came back and he said, "This is the first movie we want to make."
That's amazing. So,
wow.
That's really, really amazing.
Wow.
That's
great.
Yeah.
I mean, they did do a really good job with it.
Oh my God.
You know, of course, I understand things have to get cut. Like, it's never easy to make a book into a movie because it's way longer than a screenplay could ever be.
Right.
Unless you wanted to go Lord of the Rings style and make three movies.
Oh, have
out
you
of
watched
this.
The uncut versions?
No.
Oh, my word. 3.5
we
hours,
own
dude.
Them.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have time.
It's literally over.
I'm busy reading all this smut.
You are not.
I am. I'm a slow reader.
Watching those is a work day plus after hours.
So I want to interject a little bit. Yep. And
let's talk about the steamy a little
bit.
Well,
I wanted to talk
a little steamy though.
I know. I will talk about that. But
it's
what
very
I wanted,
Maine Lobsterman steamy.
What I wanted to say really quickly was I mean, David and Matt aren't officially from Maine, but David lived here the majority of his life. And Matt really did, too, on Monhegan. But
big
I think what,
community.
Like, we had talked about on the podcast, but how beautifully Maine, both the book and the movie, are, like...
Nailed it.
Like, we were that's got to be this place and this place and this place. Like, it, like, gave David and I goosebumps. We were like, oh, my God.
And, I watched
you know,
it
and that was amazing.
Where was the bar scene shot?
Yeah, so that was originally slated to be down in Port Clyde
at the Harpoon.
Yeah,
hey Matt, do you know anything about the Black Harpoon?
I know a little bit about the Black Harpoon.
A little bit.
he might have bartended there a little bit.
Yeah. I used to practically live there.
Yeah, the Boon shot we were going to do.
Yeah, and I hosted trivia there for a while. That's where it all started off.
Yeah, once again.
Hollywood.
We're just going to use that. Hollywood, we had to move some scenes out to California. And to their credit, boy, did they find a bar that looked similarly like a
90s. That's why I'm asking.
That's true. Yeah.
That's why I'm asking. I'm like, I cannot place this bar for the life of me.
That definitely could have been like
it was very reminiscent of like Cuzzies.
Or Gilbert's or something.
Myrtle.
Yeah.
You know, Gilbert's never flushed their lines for their beer.
Don't say that.
They're gone, so I can say it.
No, I go to Myrtle all the time. Don't say that.
That's Myrtle. They're
that's
not Gilbert's.
Different company.
Gilbert's.
Oh, well, they're gone and dead. So
yeah, Gilbert's never flushed their beer lines, which is Myrtle's a free fine. Service.
Phoebe and I were in a music video that was shot at Myrtle.
Well,
part of it was, anyway. That was a good time. Yeah, my good friend's drive-by Todd.
Our post-wrap-up party was all at the Myrtle. Everybody wanted to go. Everybody on production and crew were there partying the night away. That was awesome.
Was that after or before they redid the bar?
Oh, for
they put the horseshoe
the
bar
now. Yeah. And our good friend Todd is the head bartender there. Shout out to Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Hope you're listening, Todd.
And Leslie, who owns it.
Yeah, Leslie's great.
Yeah. Leslie owns it.
All right. So, I digress.
We always digress. We got it.
All right. So, the whole, do you have a new girlfriend or do you have an oxy habit?
Right. Yeah. A new girlfriend or a new oxy habit.
So, yeah. Donna.
And this is where Jamie has started to kind of step out.
So this quote, what you just said, do you have a new girlfriend or a new oxy habit?
I know, because you've been looking at my phone.
that was a quote from Jamie's mom, Donna, and she is a no-nonsense lobsterman's wife.
Holy crap, did you nail that too?
On a select board, and she just takes no crap from her husband, from her son, from anybody. And, you know, instead of the Donna Reed, you know, I'm in the kitchen and I'm whipping up a great Thanksgiving for everybody.
Here's my blueberry cake.
Yeah. she's looking straight at him and going, look, babysitting your girlfriend again because she's not able to, you know,
take
be
care
on
of herself.
Her own.
Yeah.
So you better have a good excuse while you're out for the third time this week, you little shit, you know? And I love her, and I love how that was translated in the movie too. Yeah.
I kind of want to do a little. This is very impromptu. Yeah. I did not prep you for this because it translates directly from the book to the movie, and it's Jamie on the phone with his mom.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Fuck, mom, can you just help me out here this once? And what does his mom say?
I forgot.
Uh-oh. Did you just say the F word to me?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. James, did you just say the F word to me?
Well, no, Ma. I said the F word.
Like.
I just said the F word.
Because I swear to God, you little tick. I'm paraphrasing.
I love it.
I will crush you.
Yeah. That was summed up every Maine mother mm-hmm. that I have ever met.
Yes.
In my entire life.
Sarah Clark played that role in the movie, and she did a really good job with that, too.
That's amazing. Yeah.
All right. And I know you've been looking at this question, too.
I haven't looked at your phone at all.
Not at all? Right there. It's right there.
Stop being so paranoid, dude.
So if your book was a candle, what would it smell like? Would it be briny, like the sea?
Oh, if my book was a candle, it would smell like Bayberry and PBR.
Okay.
There you go.
Whoa.
Okay. I was going to guess salt water and PBR, but that works.
That works out a lot. Oh, my word. Yeah. Bayberry and PBR.
Or what are those little nips again?
Fireball.
Yeah.
Cinnamon.
Fireball and severe regret.
Yeah. Oh, my word.
Yeah. I got Matt a candle that supposedly smells like cocaine and hookers.
Oh, wow.
Did you get it in Vegas? Or
no,
did you find
no,
it at Toby's
it.
Grocery? Oh, you ordered it.
I ordered it.
It smells like vanilla. So like the vanilla. Hooker part is on point, but the cocaine missed the mark.
Why do all the hookers smell like vanilla?
I don't know. They rub it all over themselves. It's not for me to figure out.
From Maine, so we'll never know.
We'll never know.
I mean, the strippers sometimes smell like hookers if you go down to PTs or Diamonds.
Well, we're digressing.
Okay. We are digressing. Phoebe, you had a question earlier.
Yes. So we were going to talk about the smutty parts, which there aren't, but it's more like romantic.
It's more romance.
Which not all the books we read are aggressively smutty. Some of them are just romance.
The scene going up the mountain.
Yeah.
I thought was fan. That was, you know, he's in his F-150, just throws it into fourth gear and freaks her the fuck out.
Yeah. Yep.
Because they're practically, they go almost 6 to noon, Matt.
Six to noon.
But in
but
the truck.
Not in the, yeah. It's again, in the truck,
again
not
based on a real experience.
Oh. Did you also make out at the top of the mountain?
I think I was too traumatized to do that at that point. That experience going up that mountain in literally just crawling over tree trunks. And then having a beer at the top. That was so...
Was it an F-150?
I can't remember. Oh. Probably.
It was an F-150
or a Silverado. These are the details that we need.
It's Maine. Come on. It's one of the two.
It could have been a Ram.
It could have been, but it probably wasn't.
I feel like that's the most romantic Maine guys mm-hmm. get, though, mm-hmm. because like that mm-hmm. is like...
Yeah, I'm gonna throw it into fourth, bring you to the top of a mountain and look at the stars.
Scare the crap out of
you. Drive
you
somewhere that you've never gone.
And look at the stars.
And then hold you while you get through
the PT. Honestly, the best date I was ever on.
Yeah.
Honestly, don't take me to a restaurant. Just terrify me. Put me in a truck and go and crawl up a mountain to the point where I think the truck's going to overturn and let me scream and let me fear for my life. And at the top, give me 2 beers left of your 6-pack and let's just talk about life a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Mean guys are kind of hard to crack.
Were there chicken tenders?
No.
But those guys will show you like some really amazing like experience. Yeah. Like Maine guys are really good at that. And like deep diving into their soul without expressing it vocally.
It's still a rugged place.
I feel like romance in Maine for women, if you're coming up here, is you better be ready to do all the guy shit that they do because that's how they're going to woo mm-hmm. you, you know?
Yes,
100%. You want to go ice fishing? Oh, we're going to do that.
Yeah.
What do you mean you didn't wear long underwear? That's a you problem.
Yeah, exactly.
My sister
married... You didn't know the warm-up in my truck here?
My sister married a Maine guide, and he is like one of the... Like, he's from Hope, and he is like one of the most rugged guys I know.
He's a logger, right?
He's a logger. Yeah. He's a Maine guide. He holds state records for hunting and like all this stuff. And my sister
was
not...
He spends most of the winter in the woods chasing moose.
Yeah, my sister was not into any of that until she met him. And now she is like this rugged, like she is a badass like when it comes to...
Does she prefer steel or Husqvarna?
I don't know what that is.
That's a crucial question.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
It's a chainsaw.
A chainsaw.
Oh.
But she's not a logger. She does go hunting, though.
She goes hunting and fishing.
Oh, yeah. She's got a hunting rifle in the back of her Jeep.
Oh, yeah.
I thought she was out there logging with him.
No.
My bad.
No. My sister is born in South Carolina. She likes the warm weather, not the cold.
Fair. Matt, do you have any questions for Kay about the movie?
About the movie? Well, I mean... Huh. You really put me on the spot here.
You did.
I did. I absolutely did.
Did you have any part in the casting? Like, was that, so were you able to like kind of interview and sit in on these like auditions?
Yes.
No shit.
Oh.
Who did you get to vet out?
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know how this happened. I don't know how this production company found
my book.
She's
about to drop the mic.
And I don't know how they hired me to be the screenwriter. But then on top of it, they invited me to be an executive producer on the project.
That's awesome.
Which part of the duties of that is you have
casting.
Full, you know, vetting of casting. And we went through a lot of what we call lookbooks, you know, of Hollywood actors. And there were a few thrown our way. I'm not going to name names, whatever. But well, whoever was not chosen, it was just because of, for me, it was all about the authenticity. I needed to know that the person who was going to represent Jamie, a Maynor, had to look, feel, and be
yes,
the part.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I needed that hair, slick the LA guy, you know,
the beard. You have to look rough
right.
and tumble.
Yeah. So, and Zack Steiner, who is on Euphoria, he did so much pre-work for this. So what he did is he read the book and then he would do these long monologues and send them to us as voice audio files.
Just to audition?
Of him being Jamie.
Wow.
And talking out loud and just basically extemporizing, is that the right word? But he would just like derive from the book and then just pretend to be Jamie and just talk.
That's awesome.
And that was, that sold me on him. And of course, Greer, she had the vulnerability I absolutely loved.
I love how she portrayed
it. She did an incredible job pretending to have brain damage.
Dear listeners, you have to watch this film. Yeah, and, read the book and watch the movie.
And Xander and Sarah, Xander who plays the flashback father, and Sarah who plays Donna, the mom, Xander Berkeley and Sarah Clark, they also, they're in Maine and they brought such an authenticity to the role. And of course, I've already talked to you about Stephen Ogg, he was terrifying on screen, but such a goofball, funny guy behind the scenes.
He plays Jamie's father, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I probably...
He's scary. He's supposed
to be
a scary
dude.
But,
you know, we took him out to Matinic.
I was going to say,
a Sunday fun day,
gave
and
me big Matinicus vibes.
Man, they had the best time of their lives, the cast. We treated them Maine style to the way the life was. We took them out to an island. We did, like, lobster in the raw, like on the rough, on the boat after cooking it, and you just eat it, and you don't have any butter, and then you just jump in, and we would just take them out on ATVs, and they were just stunned at how simple and yet how gorgeous life was.
Yeah,
I can imagine Miss Greer just being there, like jump in the water, come on.
Oh, she did.
You see what I had to do? Come on, go.
She just went right in.
Oh, that's right
awesome.
On. Yeah,
that's
she
amazing.
Was awesome.
No, that's incredible.
We had one of my Navy friends out from California, and he'd never been to the East Coast really. And I showed him, we drove out to the coast. He ate lobster like 6 times.
He
did
in that one day. One day. Lunch, breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Like sending videos to his family, like look what I'm eating.
Yeah.
He's just like, oh, pull over. I want to take a picture of this house. My wife's gonna love it. I'm like, you got to move out here. He's like, they live in San Diego. Yeah. He's like, she's not going to deal with the cold.
Nah.
I'm like, yeah, try it. Your kids can go sledding. It'll be great.
You'll love it.
Isn't it funny that lobster itself has become such the luxury food that everybody, you know, they serve at the White House with champagne. And yet lobstermen
served to prisoners.
But if you lobster all the time, you bring in lobster home and you're like, you're making spaghetti out of it.
Yeah.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
It's nothing big, you know?
Don't know if you know this about me, but I'm a classically trained chef.
Oh, I did not.
What's the craziest dish you have made with lobster?
Craziest. I'm going to go.
And if it's Thermidor, I'm going to be thoroughly disappointed.
I'm going to go with the tried and true classic lobster chowder, though. Because.
Really?
Yeah. Because that is.
Do you put the claws in?
I will do the entire base out of the body and get the base out of it. And then I'll add that back in with a heavy cream and a shallot. I'm a home cook, too. So I love working.
Fair
with,
enough.
Yeah,
fair
I love
enough.
Working with lobster.
Oh, man, I hate the smell of roasted lobster shells.
I know.
I have done it so much. I have made enough lobster bisque to fill this room.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I'll make a whole chunky lobster chowder, though. I won't even do the bisque. I'm like, you're going to get the whole thing.
All right.
So
fair
it's
enough.
Like, you know.
Love that.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. So lobster chowder is the dish for K students.
Right. So we've talked about this before. Now, but I'm going to ask for the sake of the podcast. Now, where did you get access to all these lobster boats and the areas that you were filming at?
The bar, right?
Yeah. Big big shout out to my Lobsterman friends, Ryan Post, Sherry Savage, and Dan Miriam. They were, plus some of family and friends of these guys too, who chipped in, but they were the backbone of getting our boats. The boat that is in the, on the cover of the book and the title on the movie is Dan Miriam's boat. And they sacrificed almost an entire month in August of their fishing season wow. to work on this film. And
a month?
Almost a month, yes. And it was—
Whoa!
It's unheard of. And this movie would not have been made without their contribution of their boats, the access to the wharves, the co-ops. We even got access to the Owl's Head Lighthouse, yeah. houses, everything. That was because of them.
Shout out to those guys yeah. big time.
That's wow. amazing.
That's
yeah.
amazing. That's yeah. amazing. And you met them at the Sea Dog.
Yep. I met them all at the Sea. I've been friends with them for like 30 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yep.
Very cool.
I'm in awe a little bit. This is so freaking cool.
You've been fangirling since I told you yeah. that Kay would come on the show.
Yep, yep. Again, dear listeners, watch the movie twice. Within the same week.
Yeah, yeah. He finished the book in a day, and then he watched the movie twice.
I did.
You're
I read
my
the book.
Favorite kind of fan.
I read the book in a day. Yeah.
All right, I have questions for you.
Please. Yeah. Oh, my word.
That's so exciting.
Yeah. Get out of here.
So, you know, I am a journalist by trade, so I ask a lot of questions of a lot of people. So I started in—
How did we do? Besides interrupting.
Right now, you're at a zero.
Okay? Right?
Fair enough.
No. Just kidding. No. You guys, you two burly, bearded dudes. Okay. If I figured there was going to be any kind of a podcast, I would think it would be about, you know, beer brewing or how to
sourdough maybe.
Maybe.
Or how to like fix an engine or something. And you two have
I can't do any of that.
Gravitated towards romance novels, yep. which is so unusual and is so cool. And with Phoebe's influences, I see what that is. But you also gravitate towards the spicy romance yeah. novels, which makes me I'm kind of giddy inside over this. It makes me laugh because I'm like, who does that? You guys are just interesting as a duo to begin with. But what made you decide to, as an entire topic of a podcast, go this direction?
Matt and I, he brought up the subject of a podcast because he right. went.
I've
he
been
went
wanting to
school,
do it.
Yeah, he went to school for audio and engineering.
Yeah. Okay.
So this whole setup here, I could not have done. Well, I mean, I probably could have with some Google searches, but he did it instinctually.
Yeah.
I knew exactly what we needed to buy, what we needed to use, and that's why we've got some good quality
stuff. I'm going to shout out to Sarah J. Maas one more time because I started reading the fucking ACOTAR books.
Yeah.
And I read the first one and then plowed through, all the puns intended, every single one of her books, and then Fourth Wing, Iron Flame, and just, I was just like, why am I not? Because I've been a prolific reader.
Yeah.
Prolific reader my entire life.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is my hobby. What I do is read.
But did you necessarily gravitate towards romance?
No.
Okay. So this is such a new venture for you.
Fantasy, absolutely.
Yes.
Fantasy is a big one. So, and then I started talking to Matt about these romantasy novels I was reading. It was like, hey, what if we did this podcast?
Right. Yeah. And then I think you had said, let's call it paperback romance. And I'm like, no, it's paperback bromance.
There you go. Yep. And I was just like, how about you don't read the book?
Yeah. I'm like,
why don't you just read? Why don't you just read the first and last? I was like, you read the first and last chapter and I'll read the rest of it. And then I'm 14 novels deep. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we decided
and
we
I've started
some female,
15 already.
We needed some female perspective. So we brought Phoebe in and then we're like, but she's only going to read the smut.
Yeah.
Just to torture
sometimes
her a little bit.
Sometimes it's like, it's a little difficult because I'm like,
there's no context.
I will, there's no context. And then I get wrapped up in it and I'm like,
she starts to break the rules.
I do. Well, I just can't stop.
So she just keeps reading because she's hooked. She needs to know what the characters are doing.
You know what? And surprisingly, some of these books are way better than I thought they were going to be.
Yeah. Well, I'm really impressed and impressed about your podcast and how you come at it with your tone and your subject matter. And I don't know if you guys know this, but in the last 20 years, readership of any books at all has been down almost 40%.
Yep, it's dropped significantly.
You know, all the competition of iPads and phones and streaming and whatnot.
It's too easy to entertain yourself.
Right. And I really think it's very cool to that you guys do this podcast and that you are promoting main authors too, because that is what we need to do as authors to survive, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, I'm looking forward to reading your other books.
Oh, good. Yeah.
So
excited.
Before we close everything out, you know, we've been at
this
for almost
things out?
Not quite, because I wanted to.
Okay. I still wanted to address the last question that Kay asked a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, please, yeah. Matt.
Because
I'm sorry.
I got, you know, of course, reading romance novels wasn't my thing, but David brought it up and was like, okay, this can be hilarious. And for reasons why you asked the question is no one expects that from us.
This is ridiculous.
It is.
And
it
is. I very much like to go against the grain. I'm a cancer survivor. And after going through that, I literally stopped caring what anyone thinks about me. Yeah. I wear pink mesh tank tops.
Are
I
you
paint
sure
my nails.
It wasn't when you got hit by the car?
Well, that's the first time I almost died, but you know, it's.
No, that was from the fireball.
Yeah.
No, just good old fashioned bourbon.
It was something. I don't know. I think that might have been Jameson.
We digress.
We digress.
Go ahead, Matt. I'm sorry.
But yeah, no, I was just, you know, I like doing the weird and unexpected. It's fun for me. Mm-hmm. And I like when people are just like, what the hell are you doing? And I'm like, don't worry about it. It's fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
Just shut up and listen. And I guess I never really, I've always wanted to do a podcast. I used to own a donut shop, and so I worked by myself late at
Willow
night.
Willow Bake Shop.
I worked by myself late at night, nobody to talk to, and really got sick of listening to the BBC.
Yeah,
because that's the only fucking thing that's on late at night or early morning, whichever way you want to look at it. So I started listening to podcasts, in particular audio dramas and true crime.
Oh, that makes sense.
Because I love stories.
Yeah.
Yes. I love stories. That's why I was so gravitated to your book and to the movie itself, because it's such a great story.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all the accolades, Kay.
Thank you so much. And, yeah. You know, honestly, I feel like in the timeline we're in and the news cycle we're constantly in, you do need to have books that take you out of that timeline and put you into, you know, 18th century or 19th century or wherever, a Hobbit, I don't care where you go.
Or 2009 in Maine.
Or 2009 in Maine, yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right, yeah. That was, I mean, it's great to just get out of your space, out of your world and distract yourself. And as me, someone with a lot of anxiety, I love getting myself out of my head, out of my element,
girl, he was
out of
pacing,
my surrounding.
Like waiting for you to get here. It was just pace. Like, and she's bringing her husband. And I don't have another microphone for her husband.
I didn't know this way.
I got a couch. I got a place for him to sit. So and he walked in and was just like, no, I'm just dropping her off. Yeah. Peace out. Have a good time. Yeah.
But of course, I was still ramped up.
And
but,
everything worked out just fine.
Well, of course. But you know what's great for anxiety is Dr. Lovejoy's Citrus Social Tonic.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
Just drink one of those and just settle right down. Well, Kay, did you have any other questions for us, or was it just the one?
No, I just wanted to
because that was a damn good question.
I just
someone had to ask it.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having me, because I know what you're doing is kind of a little bit of a groundbreaking podcast with you two dudes talking about romance and then Phoebe chiming in. I kind of like it.
Our giggly sidekick.
Yeah. Phoebe went and looked it up and tried to see if there was anyone else doing what we're doing.
No,
and
you're one of a kind.
Yeah,
there's
like kind of some people, but it's different. It's not what
they're mainly focusing on the romanticy stuff that I was just talking about earlier.
And like really quick, like on a scale of 1 to 5, this is a 5 or a 3. Like it's not going in depth into the
talking
book
about the story,
which we wanted to do, and you know, add our comedy element to it, of course, and just be weird.
Yeah,
and it's great to have
being
authors on. I'm very happy you were
utterly
able to do
ridiculous
this with us, and hopefully,
and we're going to have you back.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
oh, you're going to be back.
Yeah,
no, we have to
definitely
have you back,
because you've also got another book out now, By the Dark of the Moon.
Yep.
And you said there's going to be a sequel to that as well.
Yeah, I just got back from Ireland about a month ago, and this is a very Celtic, Irish-inspired book about Irish folklore of Selkies and rum runners. So we're still going back to lobstermen, but
that sounds awesome.
The year 1927, and lobstermen are rum runners because they were the first rum runners in the entire United States.
Oh, okay, that's a whole other episode.
I'll come back to that.
That's awesome.
So exciting.
And there's Selky sex in that one.
Yeah.
So. All right, so we'll get to that.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, and the first or the second one, or
the
both?
This first one. here.
Excellent.
Yeah, so you'll get some steam.
Qualifies as romance.
Okay, there
we go. I told you.
Yeah.
All right, now David's got something else to do this weekend. He's going to read another.
Got to read another book, David.
Another book.
Yeah, put it on the list. All right, guys. Well, as always, I have been Matt. Thank you for listening to Paperback Bromance, brought to you by Dr. Lovejoy's Main Made Elixirs. Thank you very much, Kay, for being on the show with us.
Thank you.
Kay, thank you so much.
Psyched to be here.
Paperback Bromance was not written by David Joseph this episode because we did this free form, guys. It is produced and edited by Matt Mulry. Our artwork and giggly sidekick is always Phoebe. Please like, rate, review, and subscribe. And thank you again to our special so guest, Kay Stevens. Holy crap, I still can't believe I just interviewed an author.
Oh, he...
And we will see you next time.
I'll be here. Pop a beer for me.